everyone. My name is Jabin Chavis from Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm so honored to be here at Planet Shakers this week preaching. And today I'm preaching on a subject, what to do in a valley. And I just want to encourage everyone, no matter the season you're in, that God is with you. God is with you in the valley. And I believe that this message is going to give you some tools and some strategy to get you out of the valley and really just be an encouragement to you. So build your faith and let's go into the Word together. Turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel 37. I'm going to actually read it, though, out of the Message translation. So if you want to just follow along on the screen, you can. I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture up front, and then we're just going to get into it. And feel free to say amen, shout me down, help me preach a little bit. Let's not let the jet lag win. Amen. Ezekiel 37, verse 1, God grabbed me. God's Spirit took me up and set me down in the middle of an open plain covered in bones, and he led me around among them, a lot of bones. And there were bones all over the plain, dry bones bleached by the sun. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Master God, only you know that. And he said to me, prophesy to these dry bones. And here's what God tells us to say. Dry bones, listen to the message of God. God the Master told the dry bones, watch this. I'm bringing the breath of life to you and you'll come to life. I'll attach sinews to you, put meat on your bones, cover you with skin and breathe life into you. You'll come alive and you'll realize that I am God. So I prophesied just as I'd been commanded. In other words, that very thing that God just said, now Ezekiel said. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. So notice this, God speaks, then we speak, and then there is a supernatural sound that is released. Oh, the rustling, the bones moved and came together bone to bone, and I kept watching, sinews formed and muscles and bones and skin stretched over them. But they had no breath in them, so he said, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, tell the breath, come, tell the breath, God the Master says, come from the four winds, come, O breath. Breathe on these slain bodies, breathe life. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them, and they came alive, and they stood up on their feet, a huge army. I want to just preach for a couple of minutes from the subject, what to do in a valley. What to do in a valley. Father, I just pray that you'd speak to us now. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would illuminate this word. I pray that you would do what only you can do. Take these frail thoughts and these little ideas and anoint it to become preaching, to become power, to become prophecy, that we would all leave this 9:30 service saying, I'm different than the way I came in because of the presence of Jesus. And we thank you for it. We give you all the glory for it. Can I get an amen from everybody? Amen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. What to do in a valley? I just want to give you a couple of things that I find from the text that I think will encourage you and help you. And no matter the season you're currently in, I believe that this word is going to propel you. It's going to encourage you. I think it's going to give you faith for your season. It's going to give you faith for where you are right here and right now in Jesus' name. Here's the first thing that I want to tell you if you're in a valley today. You got to know that God is with you. You may feel it, you may not. You may have got the goosebumps during worship, you may not. You may feel like God is really with you right now, you may not. But I want you to know something. According to the scripture, the hand of the Lord is upon you. The Bible said in verse 1 from the message, God grabbed me. God's hand is on me. God is with me. And if God is with me, God is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? I will not fear in the valley. I will not die in the valley. I will not be discouraged in the valley because I know one thing about the valley. I know that God is the God of the valleys. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because God is with me and God is comforting me. And goodness and mercy is following me, and I will dwell not in the valley for the rest of my life. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I'm sorry I'm preaching so early. I know it's early and I'm already screaming. I'm going to try to behave, but I just want to tell somebody. I want to tell somebody that feels like you're forsaken. I want to tell somebody who feels like you're forgotten. I want to tell somebody who feels like you're all alone in a full building today. The hand of the Lord is upon you. God's hand is on you. God has grabbed you. And even if you've let go of God, God has not let go of you. He's faithful. He's with you. Don't let the valley discourage you. Please be seated. Don't let the valley discourage you. You might feel like you're surrounded by death. You might feel like you're living in a graveyard. You might feel like there's dry bones all around you, but I just want to tell you God's with you. And I want to tell you, don't let resistance discourage you. The fight doesn't prove you're alone. The fight proves you're called. The fight proves that you're in the valley to be an agent of change, to be the prophet to that valley. Because did you notice he wasn't alone in the valley? There were bones in the valley. So maybe the reason you are where you are is because there's an anointing on you. There's a grace on you. There's a voice within your voice. There's a wheel within the wheel. There's a spirit within you that wants to prophesy, that wants to declare, and wants to bring a breakthrough to the valley. So don't be discouraged by the valley. Be the vessel in the valley to not just prophesy your way out of it, but to bring an army with you on your way out of it. I love what Nehemiah 13:2 says. It says that our God turned the curse into a blessing. That is in your Bible, friend. And I want to tell you something, that God can turn that valley into a blessing. He can turn the fight into a blessing. He can turn the storm into a blessing. God can turn anything around in your life. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. God is with you. This church is with you. God is for you, and this church is for you. And I just want to tell you, please don't give up. Please don't run away from God. Please don't give up on the house of God. Please don't stop being faithful. You're about to break through into your next place, and God is about to turn the curse into a blessing. I want to tell you something. Our city, what our city needs is a church that has been grabbed by God. Not a perfect church. Not a church that has never been through anything. Not a church that has a perfect testimony about a perfect life. And no. Our city needs people who can say, God grabbed me. And God sustained me. And God was with me in the valley, and he's gonna be with you in the valley. And I'm gonna teach you how I got out, and I'm gonna teach you how I got out with my spoils, and I'm gonna teach you how I got out with my inheritance. Listen, our city needs a supernatural church with a supernatural testimony that says, God grabbed me, and God will take a hold of you, and what God did for me, he can do for you, and what God did for Planet Shakers, he can do for you, and what God has done in my life and in my family with my children and with my wife and with my husband, what he's done for me, he can do for you too, because God grabbed me. I want you to know today, God's with you in the valley. Number two, look for the possibility. Look for the possibility. I love what God says, verse 3. He goes, hey, Ezekiel, can these bones live? See, Ezekiel saw bones, but God saw possibility. Ezekiel saw dry bones, but God saw a big miracle. To Ezekiel, it was hopeless, but to God, the conditions were perfect. A valley is an invitation for the miracle-working power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Look for the possibility. Look for the God question. And by the way, friend, when God asks you a question, he already knows the answer. If God's asking you a question, it's because he wants to tell you the answer. He already has a plan, and he can make a way out of no way. He can do this for you. So it's more of you finding out the answer that he already has. Look for the possibility. And hear me, friend, we all have a natural bent towards negativity. Like no matter what you're going through, we just have this, it's like when your car's out of alignment and it goes one way. Because of our flesh and our sinfulness, we kind of just have this bent where we want to go negative. So for some of you, if it's cold and rainy outside, you go, oh, there's my hip again, the arthritis. It's just, is it ever going to stop? But for others of you, if it's beautiful and sunny like it is today, you go, look at this, no rain. God must be judging Australia. I knew it. We're in a drought. We're in a famine. I guess this is, and you just look for the bad. You're driving down the road and your tire blows out and you go, the devil's after my tires. He's after my car again. No, he's not. We just have this natural bent I want to ask you to begin to look for the possibility. It takes no spiritual maturity to see the negative in your life. It takes no maturity to see the negative in your spouse. It takes no spiritual maturity to see what's going wrong in your life, but it's going to take some faith to look for the possibility and to not question God, but begin to ask God those God questions that can unlock your destiny and release a miracle. Can I get an amen, somebody? We have a friend who was playing golf one day, and he was playing with two other guys, and both of them were really good golfers. He was terrible. And so they were at a par three, and the first guy hit, and they were kind of on a hill, and they were shooting down into a green, and the sun was coming down. So as you would hit the ball, it'd kind of go into the sun and then reappear. And so the first guy hits, it kind of goes in the sun, and boom, hits right on the green. Awesome shot. Second guy hits, same kind of thing. But the third guy, who was not a good golfer, and he was already frustrated, he was already mad about life, and he's like me, I hate golf, okay? I think it's from the devil, okay? I'm sorry if you're a golfer, we love you, but it pulls out every unsanctified part of my life. Amen. In 4 hours, I have to get saved again. Amen. I ain't judging golf, but it's judging me, okay? And it's pulling it all out of me. So anyway, the third guy hits, and the ball goes into the sun, and it disappears, and then it just disappears. He gets so mad, and he throws his club. He starts screaming. He's angry. He's so mad about what's happening. He said, I give up. I'm never playing again. I'm not going to play the rest of this round. The friends were saying, no, hit another ball. He said, no, I'm done. He said, I'm just going to drive you guys around on the golf cart. So as he's throwing a fit, the crew in front of him is cheering. And so out of his mouth comes this, well, at least somebody had a good shot. And they get in the car and they drive down the hill. They go to the green. And he goes to pull the flag for his friends. And as he does, he goes, oh, look, those guys left a ball here. So he pulls that out. And he goes, oh, the title is 3. Just like mine. That's funny. What a coincidence. And then the crew in front get in their carts and they come back around and they go, dude, bro, man, are you like a professional golfer or something? Who are you? Why aren't you more excited? And he said, excited about what? They go, it was a hole in one. You got a hole in one. He was so bent towards negativity that he couldn't believe that he could have got a hole in one. I just want to tell somebody to believe God for a hole in one. I just want to tell somebody, believe God for something good to happen. Not everything has to be bad. Not everything has to be a fight. Not everything has to be a struggle. Maybe this is going to be a good day. Maybe this is going to be a miracle day. Maybe this week your business is going to get a breakthrough. Maybe this week you're going to find the right partner. Maybe this week you're going to meet somebody good in your life. Maybe today you're going to find a friend out in that coffee shop. Don't always look for the bad. Look for the good. I want to be a magnet for the good. God said, can these bones live? And I want to ask somebody, can a miracle happen? Can we reach a city? Can a relationship be restored? Can a body be healed? Can that breakthrough that you've been believing for weeks and months and even years, can today be the day? And I've come to declare, I believe it can. I believe our God is a miracle worker. I believe he can break anything off of your life. And I don't think you have to wait forever. I think today could be the day that dry bones come back together, that flesh comes back on that thing, that what the devil said is dead and over. Give up and die in the valley. I believe today can be a miracle day for you. Don't be intimidated by the situation. Look for the possibility. Look for the hand of God moving. Choose to see the good. Number 3, take a step into the unknown. I love how Ezekiel responds. It honestly gives me a lot of faith. So verse 3, God says, can these bones live? And Ezekiel goes, Lord, you know. Like, that was a really spiritual way of saying, I don't know. I love that Ezekiel wasn't an American Pentecostal. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I know it can, God, in Jesus' name. No, he didn't do that. He goes, Have you ever said yes like that? And the higher the pitch, the less faith you have. How you doing? And the higher your hand goes, the less faith you have. Yeah, it's going good. You know, that's where Ezekiel's at. I want to tell somebody, God will take a yes with a question mark. God will take a little bit of faith to do something really big. God doesn't need you to have it all worked out. God will take a Lord you know. God will take a yeah. God will take a maybe. God will take a I think so. God will take a if Pastor Russell says so, I think yeah. I think I got enough faith to believe. He'll take whatever he can get. Did God call you to start that business? Yeah. Depends on the day. Did God call you to start that church? Every Sunday afternoon's a little different. Did God tell you to marry that person? I mean, yeah. Some of you are waiting for everything to align before you obey. Friend, that's not faith. Faith is stepping out on the water and meeting Jesus, and you might walk and you might sink, but at least you're with Jesus. And let me tell you something, anytime you attempt to obey God, it honors God. Even if you miss it, it still honored God that you took a step. I had a girl come up to me a couple weeks ago, I was preaching, and she comes up to me shaking. And I went, is this like Holy Ghost shakes or nervous shakes? It was nervous shakes, okay. And she's like, she's shaking. And she goes, I need to pray for you. And I'm like, hi, my name's Jabin. You know what I'm saying? Like, just got done preaching. I probably wasn't the most spiritual, amen. And so we shook hands and she goes, I need to pray for you. I said, okay, what about? She goes, are you sick? You know, just not a lot of tact, you know? And so it's okay to laugh, it was awkward. So I'm like, no, I don't think so. Not that I know of, just got a physical, I'm feeling pretty good. And she was so disappointed. She goes, oh. And I go, no, I'm not sick. That's a good thing, you know? And she goes, I thought God told me you were sick and I needed to pray for you. And she was just totally discouraged. And I threw my arm around her and I said, look at me. She looked at me. I said, I'm so proud of you. That was amazing. Now we can work on your delivery. But I'm glad you tried. I think God's glad you tried. I think God's happy you at least made an attempt. At least you went out swinging. Like it's better than just sitting there wondering, did I hear God? At least she knows. And it honors God. Some of you are waiting for everything to be perfect before you do something. Hear me, I like living with a pit in my stomach. Some of you are waiting for the peace and you rub your stomach. I'm just waiting for the peace to like, I just don't know if I have a peace. We moved to Vegas a year ago. I have not had that in a year. I wake up the same way every morning. That's how I wake up. And it's usually like 2 a.m. and then again in the morning when I wake up, you know, just, You okay? Yeah, full of faith. Praise God. Ready to plant a church. That's about it, friend. Now, I'm going to grow in my maturity, and for all of you who are judging me, stop judging me, okay? But that's where I am. But I didn't wait for the pit in my stomach to leave before I planted the church. Because there's 2.2 million people who don't go to church in my city, and I'm not going to wait for the perfect peace of God, and then I'm going to plant my church, and then... Some of you need to step out and then you need to find out and you just need to take a step of faith and go, I think I've heard God. My pastors think I heard God. Here we go. We're going to try that business. We're going to go back to college. I'm going to start this ministry. I'm going to believe God for this thing. I'm going to ask that person out. What if I ask her out and she says no? What if she says yes? At least you know. I would rather go to bed at night and say, at least I tried. than lay abed at night and go, I wonder if I could have, if I should have, if I would have, if maybe I would have tried. I would rather try and miss it and know I tried. Friend, faith takes guts, and you'll never know the whole thing when you take your initial step. You know just enough. When God showed Joseph the dream, he did not show him the pit or Potiphar's wife or the prison. He showed him just enough for him to go, yeah, let's go. This is going to be awesome. That's all God will give you. But Joseph was just as much in the will of God in the pit as he was at the initial dream. So it was all part of the process. Take the risk. Take the step. Try it. Make a move. Well, you know what? I can afford to tithe. I'm going to tithe. You'll never be able to afford to tithe. Once you start tithing, you won't be able to afford to tithe. Because the devil's always going to tell you what you could do with that 10%. Well, I'd like to give him the miracle offering, but I can't because you'll never be able to in the natural. It takes guts. Every once in a while, I give an offering that I'm just like, well, praise God, I'm pumped up. And then usually by the time you get back to your house, you're going, you know what? It was the music and they got the keys going and they got me all stirred up. And before I knew it, I was signing and I don't even know what they... Y'all don't want to say amen because... But you know, he started prophesying and the drums hit and there was the build and I gave. Take the step of faith, friend. Do it with a pit in your stomach. Do it with shaking knees, with knocking knees. Just take the step. I love this in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6. Jonathan looks at his friend, his armor bearer, his servant, and he goes, hey, there's an enemy over there on the other side of the hill. Let's go fight him. And then he says this, I love this. He did not say, thus saith the Lord, the hand of the Lord is upon us. He will give us the victory. He goes, perhaps the Lord will give us the victory. Another translation says, maybe God will give us the victory. And on a perhaps, on a maybe, Jonathan's servant goes, let's go. I'm ready. All I need is a perhaps. See, we over-spiritualize the voice of God so much and we're waiting for this perfect thing. How about we just look at Geneva and go, that city is unchurched. It needs more churches. Perhaps Planet Shakers is supposed to be a part of the of helping that city. Perhaps we're supposed to go to Singapore. Maybe we should go help reach Singapore. Perhaps we should go to new cities. Perhaps we ought to go to Austin, Texas. Perhaps we ought to take a step. That is all we should need from our pastor to go, absolutely. Billions of people don't know Jesus. Millions of people in those cities don't know Jesus. Let's go. I'll give, I'll pray, I'll go, I'll help. Pastor, you give me a perhaps, I'll give you a yes. You give me a maybe, I'll give you a yes. You want more campuses in Melbourne? Turn down. For what? Let's go. I'm ready. So many times we want this perfect thing. I remember meeting with my pastor, Jensen Franklin, and I said, Pastor Jensen, I think I heard from God. I think we're supposed to go back to Vegas. And he goes, well, do you have the word of the Lord? Like the word of the Lord? And I go, I think. And he took a deep breath and he looked back at me. He goes, that's about all you're going to get. And he goes, do it. Take a step. Lord, you know. And God says, okay, I'll take that. I'll take that little bit of faith. I'll take that questionable yes, and I'll bless your life. And then the more you do this, the more your confidence grows, not in you, not in your intuition, not in your gut instinct, but in the voice of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen from somebody? I want to encourage somebody to take a step today in the name of Jesus. Number four, prophesy to your situation. I just want to look at somebody and tell them, stop talking about your situation. Start talking to it. Stop going on Facebook and just letting it all out, and it does nothing. And maybe you don't do that in Australia, but Americans are awesome at it. I just don't know. Dot, 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 dot. Pray for me. Dot, 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 dot. That's not faith. That's pitiful. Stop talking about it. Stop posting about it. Stop complaining about it. Stop calling anybody you can to talk about it and start talking to it. God never told Ezekiel, what do you think of all these bones, huh? Want to talk about it? No, he said, talk to them. Prophesy to the bones. Speak to the bones. That word prophecy is to come under divine inspiration. It is to speak the word of the Lord. Let me tell you something. Jabin, what do I do in a valley? You get a promise from God. You get the word of the Lord from God. And you say it, and you say it, and you say it, and you say it until you believe it. And then you say it, and you say it, and you say it until your situation starts listening to it. And before you know it, your world is now being formed by God's word. Hear me, friend. God formed the world with his words. And he now forms your world with his word in your mouth. It's not enough to read it. You got to speak it. It's not enough just to hear it, but it's got to go in your ears. It's got to get in your heart, but then it's got to come out of your mouth. And friend, when you begin to declare what God has already said, God will begin to do what you say. Talk to the situation. Prophesy over your children. Stop talking about your children and start prophesying over your children. Well, Jabin, I have a teenager, and if I try to prophesy over them, they will scratch my eyes out. Okay, wait till they're asleep. And then sneak into that little 16-year-old girl's room. And she even snores demonically, you know, it's like, you know, so maybe you can't anoint her head with oil yet. Just like touch her foot and run. Amen. Y'all know it's true too. Every one of us, I'm one of five kids. We all rebelled. We all went crazy. We all did dumb things. We all had a crazy teenage life. And I'll tell you, I can remember waking up in the middle of the night and thinking, man, is there a roof? Is there a leak in the roof? Is the water coming through? And I'd open my eyes and there was my mom with a bottle of olive oil. And I go, ah, but she'd go, ah, and then she'd run away. And here we are all these years later, and all five of us are serving God. All five of us are in the house of God. All five of us have children that are serving God. We all love God today. We all love our parents today. We all love our lives today. Why? Because our parents chose. I'm not just gonna talk about my kids. I'm gonna talk to my kids. I'm gonna talk to my life. I'm gonna get an attitude about my life. I'm gonna speak God's word. And I believe that as I speak God's word, my life is gonna come into alignment with the word of God. Come on, if you believe it, can you give God a great shout? I'm gonna move on, but talk to it. Huh. If we could have the team come up. So he speaks to his life. And here's what happens every time you prophesy to your own life. Structure begins to happen. Order begins to happen. Alignment begins to happen. Where there was chaos and death, there is an aligning. There is a peace. There is an ordering of your steps that begins to happen. The bones come together and the flesh comes together and the skin comes together. And it's awesome. And to me, it's kind of spiritual authority 101. You get a promise from God, you start speaking it, and God begins to move in your life. But then it's kind of this next phase. God says, Ezekiel, do you see? You've got structure, you've got order, you've got alignment, but you don't have that fresh life yet. So he said, prophesy to the breath. I want to say point number five, speak to the wind. Prophesy to the wind. Begin to invite, hear me, the Holy Spirit into your life. The Holy Spirit should not just be regulated to the final night of Planet Shakers Conference or the final night of camp or when a really awesome guest speaker comes in and at the night service and the Holy Spirit. No. The Holy Spirit must be a part of your everyday life. Here's what God tells Ezekiel. Talk to the Spirit. Speak to the Spirit. Speak to the wind. Declare, I need the wind of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need the wind of the Holy Spirit at my back, pushing me forward into all that He has for me. I cannot do this without the life of the Holy Spirit. I cannot do this without the wind of the Holy Spirit. I do not want to do this on my ability alone. I want to be able to say, it was the Spirit of God that began to move in my business. It was the Spirit of God that began to move in my family. It was the Spirit of God that began to move through my body. It was the Holy Spirit. Friend, let me just remind you, it is not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Scripture. It is God the Holy Spirit. And we must have, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, it's at 9:30 at Planet Shakers. Dear God, y'all more filled with the Holy Ghost than I am. But I just want to remind you again, invite the Holy Spirit on a Monday when you're driving to work. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Lean into the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I can't do it without you. Holy Spirit, I don't want to do it without you. I want your anointing. I want your wisdom. I want your voice. I want your leadership. I want your help. I want your empowerment. God forbid I walk this life of God without God. And I want to tell you something. If you'll talk to the Spirit, if you'll speak to the wind will speak back. And He'll reveal mysteries. And you'll walk into a meeting and you'll go, Holy Spirit, I need you. And right as you're about to sign a contract, He'll go, I wouldn't. And right when you're about to yell at your kid and He nudges on your heart and goes, chill out. And right when you're about to criticize your wife and He says, take it easy. And when that person cuts you off in traffic and you want to send them the one-way sign to hell. And He goes, that's not worth it. And all of a sudden, we're not just Spirit-filled, we're Spirit-led. And it's those who are led by the Spirit of God that are sons of God. And now I'm walking in a level of divine spiritual maturity that I never have to make a decision on my own because I have the Spirit of God. And here's what He said in the book of Isaiah. He said, I'm gonna whisper to you in your ear. And here's what I'm gonna say. This is the way, walk ye in it. And now it's just no longer you trying to figure this thing out on your own, but now the Spirit of God is with you, speaking to you, leading you. I just want to tell you, this building is awesome, but without the Holy Spirit, this building is concrete and wood and metal and structure. But with the Holy Spirit, this becomes Bethel, the house of God, where angels ascend and descend. And without the Holy Spirit, your marriage is nothing more than a legal contract. But with the Holy Spirit, it becomes a covenant before God that God blesses and ordains. And without the Holy Spirit, you just live in a house. But with the Holy Spirit, it becomes a home, a city on a hill, light and darkness, where your unbelieving kids' friends just want to be in your house because something feels funny in your house. Something feels light in your house. Something feels fun in your, I don't understand it. I don't even believe like you, but I like that your parents don't scream at each other. And I like that your daddy isn't a drunk like my daddy. I just want to be in the house because when you invite the Holy Spirit into your life, it transforms every part of your life. I just want to invite the Holy Spirit. Can you stand on your feet? Hey, well, I hope that message was an encouragement to you, and I hope that God really spoke to you through it. So, hey, have an incredible week, and we'll see you soon.